There is a high likelihood there will be swearing, adult themes, and general naughtiness contained within this podcast. If you are a child or you do not like this sort of thing, I would turn off your device right now. Waving everywhere, man. Waving everywhere, man. Seen every friend swear, man. Welcome, welcome one and all to another Beyond Hampden Park special of the Beyond Canal Park podcast. We're here tonight to bask in the glory of unbeatenness after a history-making start to this qualifying group with a comfortable dispatch in a Cyprus. We'll also look forward to the 150th anniversary game against the old enemy, which has come tomorrow. With me as always are John McClay. How are we tonight?
Oh, I'm feeling unbeatable.
And of course, Colin Brooke, he joins us over Skype. An early night for you before our trip to Hampden, Brookie.
Yeah, hello boys, how we doing?
Hi, great. Right, let's go and let's hear some of those goals again to get us in the mood.
In the box, and McGinn gets the flick, and McTominay! It's the perfect start, and it's Scott McTominay again. Robertson with the ball in, Hendry, and then Porteous. If you look towards the officials, but things just get better and better for Scotland. Sion. This is from Hickey to McTominay, who steps inside. McGinn from the edge of the area. Number three, not to be outdone. John McGinn in on the act. And this is a Scotland side on the cusp of something very special indeed. John.
Well, boys, how are we doing? Oh, record from Cyprus.
Aye.
John doesn't look like he's recovered.
No. Brookie doesn't sound
I can't
like
see
he
you,
is.
Brookie, but you sound a bit rocking.
I'm struggling. I think it's caught up with me. Aye.
Freshers flu. It is Freshers week, like.
Well.
Enjoy that trip, boys.
It was a rare occasion being in the sunshine on a Scotland trip and cruising to a 3-0 away win. Like,
that's it. For been worse. Straightforward win, boys. Then may I say, let's go ahead.
Easy peasy. It really was
very un-Scotland, like, un-Scotland-like.
Dare I say, a wee bit boring for a fan perspective after the three goals.
That's it.
Long may it continue, but easy. I mean, to be honest, in a stadium we were saying Cyprus didn't really perform. Like, it felt like they weren't running or pressing it. Kind of when, like, you see a club team and they stop playing for the manager, like Aberdeen, like against Hibs, 6-0, that kind of stuff. It just felt like that. They just, I think if Scotland had wanted it, they could have went and I really run your head to them. But yeah. I think when they got three up, they just backed off, and goals were great. Couple of good individual performances again, but I was kind of odd from about 30 minutes on. It was a weird,
it was just done, isn't it?
It was one of them games for nobody in the crowd could have complained, but standing next to Brookie, he fucking just, it was just like his normal. He hit the complain about something, so for about at least half a game he was screaming in my lug saying, "These boys are fucking shite. We need to put 10 past them."
No content with just wrapping up the game after 25 minutes.
I didn't think they listened to me either. Nobody was listening.
Hey, it was the second half was very controlled and I guess energy saving for fits to come.
They put on a professional performance, you would say, and we're kind of moaning about winning 3-0. Ken, it's if they needed it, they could have stepped it up.
Aye.
One thing I would have said, I would have liked Clark to maybe make a few more subs or different subs or just a wee bit earlier, give folk a wee bit more of a run, but yeah, we're not going to start criticising Clark either, that's for sure.
No. Well, if we didn't hear something to moan about, this podcast is just going to end.
I think we maybe just shut it down now.
Just too good. But long may this continue. I mean, this may be what it feels like if you're a top rank in the international team and you just turn up and roll teams over all the time.
We just didn't do that though, do we? And I was sitting watching it and I'm just like, this is different territory for us. The game's over after half an hour. We've just turned up, we've beat them before we started. It was, as you're saying, I must be fit up in your Hollands and your Germanys of days gone by. Felt like
it reminded me a wee bit different, but I mind being out in Spain with a proper good Spain team, mm-hmm. and they pumped this. Oh, if it was at 3-1,
it
was a penalty for Scotland,
and we maybe touched the bar 4 times, and one of that was a penalty. But it kind of had that feel about it. They were just playing with us that day, and just felt like we were playing with them a wee bit.
We heard the goals there, but some good goals there.
Yeah,
McTominay, absolutely. Top scorer in Europe. Big McSauce, only played 17 minutes for United.
Yeah, because they're playing in the wrong position.
That was a chat before the game in the pre-match build-up. How long can Clark keep playing McTominay for if he's not playing for Man United? And Hutton and McFadden were both basically like, he can, if he's banging in the goals like that, he can play for as long as he wants.
Absolutely. Ten Hag looked like a bit of a dick as well.
I wonder if he'll get back into the United team soon, because you kind of keep my boy like that out of the team. He's obviously just well suited to that role. Him and McGinn either side the supporting the forward, it's just brilliant. The two of them are unstoppable, are they? McGinn and McTominay.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Must admit, with McTominay, I was kind of had my doubts that is he like good enough to play for Man United? And I think in his early years he probably wasn't really, but he's certainly looking like he's developing into a decent player now. And when you look at how United's midfield are doing just now, he should definitely be in for a game. Like,
I think maybe we should try him back at centre half, should we?
Oh, fuck's sake.
He's played left back yet.
And then obviously McTominay's banging him in, but McGinn back on the score sheet for Scotland. And I think I heard he's just one behind Kenny Miller now and two behind McCoist for Scotland.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Especially, I mean, he didn't really start that early either. He's
first goal was Russia. It wasn't that long ago.
That long ago.
No.
2019 or something like that. But his goals per game ratio for a midfielder is decent.
He does play a bit further forward for Scotland than he does for club, probably, but still.
I thought he was class. And I mean, McTominay was probably the standout, but I thought McGinn again was brilliant.
His finish was quality.
Nice and early.
Keeper had a chance.
Yeah. Well, for your angle, I think I turned to Brookie and said, that keeper's not trying there, isn't he?
He never had a chance.
When you saw it on the replay, it was like,
passed him before he even seen it.
For the Porteous goal, I thought, this is a foul. Because Henry got up well, but you watch the replay, Henry's hands didn't even leave his side. He just had a great leap, knocks it down. Must have learned that in the Saudi.
I think so. He got £1 million.
Good performance. Cyprus were poor. Can we read anything into the performance because Cyprus were so poor? Or
I think
it's hard.
Look poor?
Well, we definitely made them look poor, but we had this conversation at night after the game. Were they completely shit, or are we just really good now? And I think a bit of both.
An element of both.
First half hour, we steamrolled them, and you're thinking this could be anything. And then I think it was okay, so we maybe just took a foot off the gas a wee bit and just managed the game, which is absolutely perfectly fine. And I think Cyprus were pretty happy with that, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think it suited Abdi at that point.
The only slight concern I had was, after we scored the goal, they maybe had 3 chances, and you thought, Scotland get a DS, let the other team into the game kind of thing, but maybe caught a wee bit of luck and didn't lose a goal. But
aye,
if we had, it could have been a different game. But
they hit a bar at one point, didn't they?
Aye, boy,
he was offside.
Did Angus Gunn have to make a save?
You get a comfortable long range save just after that.
That's right. I just didn't decide.
As I said, I'd seen Brian Gunn tweeted after the game, "That's Angus now got more clean sheets for Scotland than I played games."
Wow, what a start he's had.
He's came in at the right time. He's been solid. And again, he's played some. The only fit is he conceded
Haaland penalty.
Is that it?
Penalty.
Nothing against Spain. So unbelievable.
Goals for open play.
Can't argue with that.
Speaking of Montrose, Brookie on the Saturday after you went away, he was saying he was very impressed with Gunn. He's an ex keeper, wasn't he?
Aye.
He said his distribution really, really good. And
He seems pretty calm and collected as well.
Aye, I'm not sure if he's got like a, if he's a best shot stopper, but he's never really been that tested.
No.
If he can do the basics well, which he has done up to now, then we'll take that, because we were panicking about a goalie for a while. Like.
And we also, the way sometimes we play, if we've got a goalie that's comfortable with the bat, his feet, that can tack a pressure off the defence a bit, and we're not going to be, like sometimes Craig Gordon get out a bar and you're like, oh, fuck, where's this going to go?
Quick.
Especially if it was on a righty.
But he did okay against them. He had to make a couple of good saves against Spain. Game he's been most tested.
Mm-hmm.
He's settles right in here, comfortable enough, and well, the measure is nobody's even talking about it, really. Yeah,
he just slipped in, and that's been fine.
Yeah,
I thought for this game, Clark did change because McTominay wasn't really playing in that position up to this game, because that was probably the one position for you thought is Gilmer. If Gilmer's playing far, does that
aye?
Obviously, Christie came out the team, and or
was that, Dykes. Was that a surprise in a lineup that? When you saw it, Gilmore was in. I think that was a one maybe surprise. Not a surprise, but certainly a change if it had gone before.
I think Gilmore played against Georgia, didn't he?
Aye.
I think he did. And I thought he was class that game, actually, against Georgia, and he was really good again against Cyprus. So
Subbed off pretty early, didn't he? But maybe just protecting him a bit.
I think he just wanted McLean to get on, did he?
McLean
came on, but we didn't make a sub up until, I was looking at the 67th minute before we made any subs, which was, again, totally splitting hairs here. We've not got much to complain about, but that's quite long given how dead the game was at that point.
Yeah.
And then, if we're talking about midfielders and stuff and players we want to see, I said Lewis Ferguson didn't get on again.
Give him a chance, like,
he is very loyal, though, isn't he, Clark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went into Luke, right? Lewis Ferguson has now got six caps. He's only started one game, which was at Austria friendly, 2-2 away. He's had a minute here, 2 minutes against Denmark, 11 minutes against Turkey, 7 minutes against Spain. He's the one that just, I'm hoping, gets enough time so that if he is relied upon, he's ready to go. I mean, I'm sure he would be. He's starting the season well, but I'd like to have seen him.
He's just unfortunate at the position he plays, because before McTominay's been on, Gilmore, I think, is just something different. Can control a game on his day. McGregor's been brilliant, really.
The thing with McLean is, he's hiding. Kenny occasionally comes up with big moments for Scotland, and he deserves minutes as well. I think by the sounds of it, folks say about him, he's good in the squad. I think he's a live wire. I think he would be entertaining to hear about a place in that.
Aye, wouldn't it be a problem, that's for sure.
Aye.
Yeah, Ferguson's now been in the squad 17 times and he's now got off the bench 11 times. But it just shows how strong we are in the field.
Keepers.
Fair enough.
But, we'll hear a couple of, after we pump Spain, we'll hear a couple of dead rubber games in the group, so maybe get a chance to shine then.
Bloody, it is only 23, 24, so I guess plenty of time yet.
Any surprises in the team at all for any of you? That was pretty much how we should line up.
I think the players that I hoped were going to played, but then I thought I was a wee bit surprised that there was only one out of Dykes, Christie and Adams.
I think for it, between the six or seven of us that were sitting talking and beer, I think we mostly agreed about 10 of the 11 players. Did Abdi, I was in much of a shock.
Did Abdi hate Porteous? Is he now starter? Because obviously...
I thought you've been through the ringer with him.
I thought he would play.
I knew he would play, given
he seems to be. He seems to have made up. He seems to have moved in. That's the three new, Tierney, Henry and Porteous, because Suter was in the squad.
I thought Suter might have got a shot, but I just think with Porteous, he's a bit more athletic.
He's got a bit of pace when he turns it on, and he made a great tackle towards the end of the game for the boy was clean through.
Yeah.
You actually spoke a bit after the game. I have a clip here. He
said, getting the clean sheet's bread and butter for you as a defender, but talk us through that goal. That was some finish.
Aye, the gaffer just walked past me and said my tackle was better than my goal. So, obviously the dream come true to score my goal for Scotland. And, you know, Austin McPhee was the first person to remind me about that header in, against Georgia that I missed. So, you know, I was quite, had a bit between my teeth today to get a goal, and I'm, you know, delighted that I did.
You obviously has calmed down a bit since leaving Hibs. Probably the best thing he could do was get you to Scotland.
I think so. We were winding up countdown, Dave, because he's obviously
he's a Hearts fan.
He was a man spraying passes about. He wasn't having it.
Again, he's still only 24 year old. And he's got about 150, maybe 175 senior appearances under his belt. He's going to mature at some point. I mean, Jesus, what were you doing at 24? I wasn't keeping international forwards. So I think you've got to trust Steve Clark and his team, haven't you? They've not really got any decisions like that wrong for the boys they've brought into the squads, as far as I can remember. And Portis has been top man, five caps.
I think a culture that Clark's created within a squad is like, it's almost like a squad wouldn't accept some of the nonsense bits that he might have had a fork in.
Aye.
And he almost maybe hissed the toe of the line, if you like, and is helping we out kind of side
thing
of things.
The thing is, you're going into that Scotland squad new, established Premier League players, Champions League winner, and you need to, there is standards there again.
Aye.
Yeah, and the captain's a Champions League winner and a Premier League winner. That sets a standard. Like, and Clark wouldn't have taken his shit either, I don't imagine.
No, he
just bing you off.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, the good thing is the best players in that team are fucking workers that seem kind of down to earth and would had a decent standard. Getting Robertson, Tierney, McGregor, McGinn. All that boys would be... Wouldn't accept that, I think.
Hey. Clark was happy, but not overly excited. Post-match, here was his comments.
See, congratulations, another step closer, huge step closer to Germany. Can you talk us through how potentially important that result was tonight?
I think every result we've had in the group has been important. Every result we've had in the group has been a process of making steps towards qualification. That's what we've spoken about inside the dressing room. That's all we've focused on is trying to make the right steps at the right time. It's another step. We still need a little bit more.
That little bit more, right? A lot of people who are watching this will be getting very, very excited about the prospect of just how close Scotland are. And I appreciate the fact that there's still work to be done. But how does it feel to be this close?
No, at the moment the table looks pretty nice. Obviously, big win for Spain tonight, so we go there next. We have to be ready for a really tough game in Spain. I can't think too much far ahead because you're asking me to predict results and what might happen in the future. I don't know.
It's safe to say that the gaffer's not getting too carried away with
things. He's not in a way, does he?
He's the same all the time, though, isn't he?
Straight down the line. But hey, what an amazing job Steve Clark has done. Since talking over a bit, since the Euros, and I think you had a bit of a stat pack prepared for us, Brookie, on just... Because he said himself that at the Euros, didn't he? Aye, we've been pumped out, but this team's going to go on for here. And we learn. Certainly have, and the stats back it up.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's not so... It's a nice point. Euros is right in the middle of his managerial reign. So he played 19 before it, 19 since. Aye. So we've won 15 of the 19 games since Euros.
That's unbelievable.
One draw and three losses. We've scored 34 goals, 13 against, which gives us a 20, you know, a positive goal difference, a 21. The win percentage is at 79% since the Euros. What the how the fuck? I honestly can't get my head.
I'm just looking at here, and it was 42% getting into the Euros
before. Getting into Euros 40%, and everyone was saying he was doing a good job. Things are on the up. 79% win percentage since the Euros, and we've won the last 11 qualifiers. This is Scotland we're speaking about.
Mental. I mean, Clark. I think Kelly was kind of labelled as the. A boring kind of type of football, wasn't it? But we're actually playing some decent. Like it's not boring to watch either. No. We have had a couple of 1-0s, but if you looked in the last 11 wins and qualifiers, there's 2-0s, 3-0s, and that includes Spain.
Yeah. I think though, although we are definitely better going forward, you look at the goals against, and we're 13 for 19 games. Mm-hmm. Thought it was 24. In the first 19 games. Yeah. So, Ken, if you die, concede, you're not going to lose.
That's it. Yeah. 12 clean sheets, 19 since the Euros. That's unbelievable.
Unheard of. Yeah.
We're not even conceding anywhere near a goal a game. It's fantastic. And we've not had a hugely settled back three, if you like, purely through injuries. So it just shows the depth, and we can rely on a lot of these guys.
Things that's been shored up without wanting to dwell on it too much, but wouldn't it be a podcast without touching on it? The right back slot is
there. There's so much coming down there, Ernie.
We still got mileage left in that. Holy shit.
But Hickey, I think, has been brilliant. He's been playing.
He was involved
right
in a couple of the goals, at least one of the goals.
He's just steady his own thing and defensively solid and definitely made a difference there.
Parsons played every minute, I think, for Everton, isn't he? That's maybe a good thing, because they're struggling, but at least he's playing. He's getting games.
But you've also had, your big players are playing every game. Tierney's been there, Robertson's been there, McGinn's there.
It's made a big difference. It's great that Tierney's gone, some lines get to play every week, which hopefully doesn't get injured.
The other in-air on that thing you put up, the graphic you put up about the attendance at Hampden.
That says it all.
Such a bloody odds, hey, and a big crowd here.
So here it is saying here that leading up to Euro 2020, the average Hampden attendance was 25,889. Now it's 46,700. So, and it shows that we've got a friendly, again, it's England, it's a friendly morn, and tickets are like gold dust.
Well, tickets were gold dust at home to Georgia
on a Tuesday night or whatever it was. It just says it all.
Usually, everybody wants a bit of Scotland.
Usually, you couldn't pay folk to go to that game.
No. Oh, I fucking hated those days going down in a pishy October night and just hearing. So, you're standing north stand. And most of the crowds where you are, and you're looking over at the, and all there is in the main stand is the subs for both teams, and a wee bit in the corporate bit.
Austin McPhee.
Destroying.
I mean, Steve Clarke, it's the unbelievable job he's done. I mean, he can leave Scotland and just retire happy with his statue, or he can get any job that he wants after that. But is there anything to be said for some of the staff that he's brought in? I've seen somebody praising the boy Carver the other day. He's been a great assistant.
I think he comes across well, especially for being English. He kind of seems to get the Scottish kind of thing.
Is Chris Woods involved now? Is he a goalie coach? Was that a rank spot?
He's a goalie coach. He's been a goalie coach for a while.
And Austin McPhee seems to...
We had a couple of set-piece goals there.
He just chases Clark down the line, try to celebrate with him.
Sometimes I think it overcomplicates it, but hey, it maybe causes that wee bit of confusion that scored a few fates. So.
Aye, great job. That's all I can really say. I got a wee clip here of McGinn. He was slightly more positive about our chances than the gaffer.
So that's a 17th goal for John McGinn in the colours of Scotland. He's now just one behind Kenny Miller and two behind Ali McCoys. That's remarkable return. Let's get his thoughts after that victory. He's with Connie McLaughlin.
John, potentially a really important win tonight. Can you sum up how you're feeling? roasting. Really tough first half, actually, even though we were 3-0 up. Cyprus are always a difficult opponent. When we played here last time, we found it a lot tougher. But a really important win. We've tried to keep a lid on the sort of reactions and the celebrations for tonight, because we know we're close, but we're just not quite there yet.
Given the fact that you are so close, right? I mean, there'll be people at home right now booking flights, effectively. How do you begin to keep a lid on that? And when do you allow yourself to sort of start to peek around the corner and think about Germany?
We need to be responsible, keep our mature heads on. We're excited, absolutely no doubt about that. Tonight's a huge win, 5 wins from 5. So the focus for us, the manager drills it into us, 5 wins from 5 is the main talking point. I think we've probably created a bit of history there. We're probably mathematically 1 or 2 points away. The job can be sealed on Tuesday, but we've got a really exciting game to take our minds off that, and what a game it is. If we manage to qualify during that night, then that would be even more special.
What would that feel like? Because you're saying these words to me, but your smile's telling me something different.
Aye, we're not quite there yet. We're not quite there. No, honestly, only a wee country could mess it up from here. So we need to stay calm as much as possible. We'll let the fans get carried away. I'm sure they'll drink Cyprus dry. We'll go back. We'll have our summer fruits and we'll prepare for Tuesday.
He's funny again. Like,
he's good quality.
He's class. Must be great to hear about a score than Abbott. Yeah, I mean, he's Abbott saying where they are. Do any of you two see a scenario for we didn't qualify for these Euros, because it's almost impossible, because Norway have to get some great results under their belt, and
we're definitely qualifying. Whether we get first place or no, I couldn't really care too much, but we'll definitely qualify.
I mean, we need 2 wins, don't we, to guarantee top spot, and then I think we get a pot one.
Five points gets us pot one.
Okay.
So that basically means even if we lose to Spain, as long as we win in Georgia and beat Norway at home in the last game, we'll be assured pot one. Which I think, as soon as they've got the qualification over the line, that'll have to be the next target. It's not beyond the realms of common sense. That's a fairly realistic target,
I think. But if we fit with Dan, that's beating Georgia away and Norway at home.
What you didn't want to happen is to, can I think we will qualify, because other teams are going to drop the points if we didn't win another game. But you didn't want to then go, can that what would lose to England, that would lose to France, then Spain. I think you do need to keep that momentum. Although we would want to see like other folk coming into the team and getting a run out.
I'm a big believer of playing the best team regardless, as friendly as
it's a Scotland game. You should be wanting to start every game for your country. So, I think we will qualify.
Yeah, 4 points would be enough to guarantee pot two. Which, let's be honest, that's not going to be bad either, is it? That's fine.
I'll take qualification.
Qualification. I think so. But Clark wants to, he's spoken about this a couple of times, and they want to be testing himself against the better team. So you can bet he'll be looking at it and saying, well, we can give England a really good game, and I'm sure we'll go on that. I think we're a better place to beat them than we have been in many a time as I can recall. He'll want to see how we can get on in France and Spain, because if we can mix it with boys away from him, then we're right up there.
I mean, there's a word getting banded about in Cyprus about Scotland. Dark horses.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I did hear
with
that.
The new Croatia.
That was Callum. That was Callum.
Dark horse.
That was definitely Callum.
Fucking hell, that just put the pressure right. Alex Carton Army will be getting a new
release. I've seen a different lyrics for that today on. There's been some honking.
There's been some Amish hate songs going on in the group. I think we did touch on this when we were chatting before, but is this the best Scotland team in our lifetime as fans? Is it the best ever? It's certainly a history make. Nay, Scotland team's ever done this well in qualifying to start with. Fixtures might have helped, but quite well.
I don't think it's been an easy group, though. We've played Spain.
I trolled through all the groups the other day just to see if I was topping that, and we're probably in the hardest group, I would say.
Especially with Norway coming on with Haaland and Odegaard. And
the worst group we could have got. There's one group that's got like Romania, Bulgaria, Serbia. I mean, it's been...
We're currently the best ranked group in the European qualifiers. There's only us and France. Are
left on full points.
Well, I guess Portugal just went in pit nine past things, so they're there's all, but their points didn't account, I think, if that team, the pit nine past, finished bottom. Although I think Luxembourg are actually doing okay out with Portugal games. But Nibdi's top winners were the best ranked team, and it's not just after one game, it's after five games. We're flying. And I think this is it. We've been saying for a few years, we would love a spell like Wales got. We'd love a qualification run like Northern Ireland got. Well, this is it. So we need to get to the Euros, and I think we will. We need to get to the World Cup in 26. And I think if we're ever going to get past the group stages in a major tournament, then Germany looks like it's got to be the best chance. 16 of the 24 qualified teams get through the group stages at the tournament.
Aye.
So Callum's maybe right. Why would we nay? If folk like Greece can go and win it and Wales can get to semi-final, why nay?
Oh, shit. We've started already.
But we do. We need to face the facts.
I think if we get... Well, we're there. Let's say, I'm going to say we're there. I didn't see... If we qualify as a pot one team, there's no reason why we can't get out of group.
The only thing... I did see another graphic a day that had the, like, pots as it stands kind of thing in Scotland in pot one. In pot three there was Holland and Italy. Like, oh shit.
I mean, Italy are third in England's group.
Aye, but Italy's Italy.
But they are qualified for a couple of tournaments recently.
Well,
they've been sitting at home with us. Hey, they won the Euros and then didn't qualify for the World Cup.
Here we've got we're gonna to this with as much confidence as I can ever remember us hearing about a Scotland team. I wouldn't quite say they're the best team yet, but I think if they qualify for this Euros, if they get out of a group and then qualify for a World Cup, it's definitely the best in my lifetime.
I think the next World Cup is our best chance for a long time. And what a World Cup to go to. America, Mexico. That would be amazing.
I'm telling you, get in a bandwagon, folks. Book a hell month after work next summer. We're going to be there deep into this tournament, boys. Deep.
Deep. Well, just before we go on to the England game, while we're still speaking about squad and that, there was obviously news during this sort of international period about a potential couple of additions to the squad. Elliot Anderson was obviously in the squad. He pulled out, whether he was injured, I know that's an inverted commas, but there is a lot of press in the last day or two that Southgate fancies him. He's made some comments and that they're going to try and get him into the England squad.
I think that's just because he's been in press conferences and they're obviously...
They're asking him.
So he's obviously going to answer.
He's not going to say, no, he's shite.
Well, maybe he'll look at him.
It's really unprofessional, eh? I can't believe I'm reading that Southgate comments.
I don't know. So I just think he's been asked a question about an Englishman.
But we like him and we'll hear a look at him. So yeah, it's something we'll look at. Fuck off. Like, be professional. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Maybe that's what you're telling your backroom team and the rest of it. But I
don't think he's on England's radar. He's miles away from an England squad. Can you think about the midfielders that, like, they're not picking James Ward-Prowse? Ken, there's other players that would be way before Elliot Anderson first maybe started two games for Newcastle. So, like, I find it hard to get over, like, excited worried about a lad who's not actually really kicked a bar for a first team.
Yeah.
Although I would like to see him, and I do think he was injured and pulled out the squad.
I also think that, yeah. I think there's a lot of noise.
He's played a fair bit of the youth levels for Scotland, didn't he?
He's been in and out. He's played for Bath three times.
I think, like so many young players, he'll be getting advised that manner of shit. Keep your options open.
If you play for England, you're going to earn a lot more money than play for Scotland.
Well, that's it.
As an England player through deals and stuff. The other guy that's obviously, he's been mentioned before a few times, he's obviously eligible, Harvey Barnes.
How's he eligible?
Granny.
Fine.
I've definitely got some views on it.
Dog walker. Ken, we've obviously got guys like Angus Gunn, Che Adams, who are English, and we've taken to them. I think if Harvey Barnes wants to commit, I would take him because I think the attack depth in attack is far we are lacking. I think other than the starters, I've got up top are a bit ropey.
Comparison here, and I was looking at this now. Barnes, granted, I think it goes with us. It would say that there has been some boys that have come in where we've benefited from the rules in place, mm-hmm. and when they fully commit, like McTominay's and Tierney's and Che Adams, and it matters to them. Yep, the fans will absolutely back you. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. If Harvey Barnes comes in and does that, that's great. The one slight caveat I'd put in there is we look at the fact, well, a good reason we bring him in is we've lost Ryan Fraser and James Forrest in the last couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. So we need some attacking width to come and replace that. If we're going to bring in the likes of Harvey Barnes, fantastic, but nay at the detriment to the progress of someone like Ben Doak, I think is how I would caveat that one. I'm happy for
Ben
someone
Doak
like
needs to go and get first team football.
He maybe does, but we're bringing in potentially a Harvey Barnes and an Elliot Anderson, which maybe just further delays someone like Ben Doak.
But if Ben Doak's going to be good enough, he's going to play and he's going to get in ahead of them.
I think Harvey Barnes is never going to be a generational talent. He's 20. He's just about to turn 26. You know. That's the only sort of caveat I would put in there. I'm happy for people to come in who want to come and play for Scotland, but and I didn't need to tell Stevie Clark this. He'll already hear his views on all of those boys, without a doubt. But
and I think
as long as they want to be there.
Clark has been very good at persuading some of these boys to come on board. Like,
and at important times, like you got Adams just afore the Euros, and we needed a forward.
Gun from with nae goalies.
Nae goalies. It was almost like
Dykes,
persuaded.
Dykes. Another one. We've benefited hugely since Clark's come in. That's one of the big reasons why we are where we are, because Clark has managed to
come in and
do
a couple of performances. Nobody even remembers that.
I don't care if Adams has been that much of a success, really, in terms of his stats and whatever. But
well, we actually spoke about him at Cyprus, didn't we? Mm. We were chatting, saying, in this game, if you're Che Adams,
he needed to score.
You've got to get a goal there. You want to be, you're bursting your ass, you need to get a goal in that game, which is, that's the only thing. He's just
he does lack a goal.
Yeah. Isn't that about half of Newcastle's squad's eligible for Scotland? Like Martin, Target, and all that boys, there's heaps of them.
But there's definitely a bit that Scotland are just a much more attractive proposition for players just now. Because, Ken, back through time, Don Hutchison, Ken,
Andy Gorham was born in England. Yeah. Goff was South African or something.
There's always players that if they can. Ken Dykes is fucking Australian.
Very Australian. Fuck.
He's going to win us the World Cup. So for me, if Harvey Barnes comes in, I think he's probably got something different to Omdi else in the squad.
Definitely. I think he'd be a good addition if he commits.
And if you needed somebody to create something, get a bar in a box for Dykes or something like that, I don't really see his hand up.
When I got that, I knew other than the wing backs.
Aye. But if you needed to shift a back four or whatever, we would struggle now, I think, to have a back four.
Plan B, aye.
I mean, our plan B, we've got Dykes.
We've lumped it to Dykes.
We can change our midfield a bit. But Clark will make sure Omdi takes into the squad, is committed to being in the squad. I'm sure of that. So if he decides to call him up.
Fit, I've read a day. It sounds like Barnes it's going to happen. Like,
aye.
And then just before a tournament, it's usually a good time to persuade some people, isn't it?
I can see it for the boy Barnes' point of view. Of course, he's English. Mm-hmm. He would have wanted to play for England. Mm-hmm. He would have dreamt about playing for England, I'm sure. But say with Don Hutchison
exception there is McTominay. I think he was brought up Scottish. He was going to play for Scotland.
And the same with Tierney.
Tierney was born Isle of Man or something, but he was Scottish, brought up Scottish.
Harvey Barnes isn't he playing for New Zealand in the team, is he?
He's been playing by the way.
Anthony Gordon this season.
He's another one that's eligible to play for Scotland.
Is he?
Anthony Gordon.
He starred, I think, for England under-21s.
But he's never been capped.
Harvey Barnes has actually got a cap for England.
He's got one cap.
18. Qualified or anything, yeah.
No, he's still eligible. But I was there in the Newcastle squad, the boy Gordon. Anthony Gordon. Mm. Apparently he's got a granny and an arse, man.
But if Barnes has got to an age where he's like, right, I'm not
I'm never going to play for England.
And this opportunity's come up to play in tournaments and all the rest of it. And if he's committed to it, fucking all the best.
Well, on England, there's a big match coming up tomorrow, which we're all heading down for. Scotland against England, although it's a friendly, it's never going to be a friendly.
No.
I hope no.
There is an even bigger match tomorrow, though.
Yes, Georgia. Oh, yeah. I just, hey, I can't see Georgia getting anything out of that after getting pumped by Spain. But hey, you never know.
It was an absolute doing as well, wasn't it?
7-1.
I seen, we were in the airport yesterday morning in the Wyham, and they were re-showing it in the, we're saying our breakfast. And they obviously scored 7, but they missed about 6 or 7, like, brilliant chances, Spain.
Aye.
Georgia were terrible.
Aye, I think I've got a feeling we might get pumped in Spain.
I don't know if we're getting pumped, but
I could see it. Just keep it down to...
You just don't want to lose the confidence. Can if you go to Spain and you have a narrow defeat? Or
that's all right, isn't it?
Can you're narrowly losing a lot of confidence for that? But
does anybody see Georgia getting a point in Norway?
Can us Norway are hit and miss as well. So, I mean... Say something happened to Haaland, or as a red card, or
did they play a friendly last weekend? No,
Norway.
Aye.
I'm not sure.
Never seen it.
Never seen. As long as it's near raining, the Georgians. It was raining against Spain. Clearly, don't like this.
Well, game against our biggest rivals, oldest rivals. How do you rate our chances? I think, Ken, like we even when we've been shite, we've never been pumped by England. Other than that, Ian, we got beaten 3-0 down there. But that could have been different as well if things had gone our way. Hanley had a really good chance early on. But we're going in there. We probably were statistically and visibly, obviously, a much better team than drew at Wembley with them in the Euros. Mm-hmm. They maybe lost a bit of confidence with their last couple of performances. I don't see why we couldn't go all the way and beat them. I was just trying to think back. I didn't think we've obviously seen quite a few Scotland England games going back to Euro 96. I don't think we've ever seen us beat England. We've drawn the Griffiths game. I don't think we've ever beaten them, but I think this is our best chance.
And Scotland obviously beat them in Wembley.
But we didn't go to that leg.
I think you wouldn't want to go into it overconfident.
No, because they've got some fantastic players sitting on their bench. Right.
That's right.
Well, do you see them playing a B team, or do you think they're going to need to go?
No, I think they'll go strong. I think if possibly, I'm not sure if Kyle Walker picked up a wee injury, and if he's playing, Grealish is out, Alexander.
A couple pulled out of squad.
Southgate's under, and he's not under pressure, but he took a bit of flack for the draw in Ukraine.
Playing Henderson.
he took Bellingham off and kept Henderson.
Saving up for a big game.
That seemed like a strange decision, did it?
I watched a bit of that game. Bellingham's class, like
he's and that's the scary thing, you know, as the old rivals thing go. I mean, Kane going to Bayern, Bellingham going to Madrid. England have come close a couple of times in recent history, and you know that could be enough just to step them up a level if they get everything else right. But there are also, look at the squad. There's a few boys in there I've never even heard of.
They're about as shite to back as we are. Maguire and the other boy, Mengi, or whatever is it?
Crystal Palace defender played. He actually looked pretty good, I thought. I think he'll end up at a big club next season. But
did he come through United's youth team or something? Chelsea or something, no?
Been at Palace for a while, I think.
We're winning. I've got money on us to win. We're winning. I fancy us
to win, but
I think it'll be goals. Usually is a few goals, other than obviously the Euros, but it was 0-0.
I worry that we're setting ourselves up a wee bit for a fall.
There's a lot of hype about it, and that usually comes with a fall.
And there's not a worse team to have the big fall till either. In fact, at Hampden, we've probably struggled more against England than at Wembley, yeah.
That ain't hurt. I remember the 99 playoff at Hampden. That really hurt. That was a horrible experience. That was
school Z-double.
They shot it
that night.
That was a much better team as well, playing against us, I would say.
The England were a lot better.
Golden generation, just approaching.
Yeah. Any changes for Scotland? The morning, do you see?
Yeah, one for me. I'm bringing in Dykes instead of Adams.
Aye.
That's my one change.
I so can see him doing that. I think Dykes would put it a boot.
He'd rattle Maguire.
I think that would play into Maguire, actually. I
think so.
I think Maguire's better when he's got somebody pacey up against him and is running behind him. He's towing a caravan, him, like, so. I'd probably rather keep Adams, although I could see Dykes getting a nod because out of all the players, I think Adams probably struggled the most in Cyprus.
Only thing I would have might have seen, I think he might give Patterson a start, but other than that, I'm not sure.
I wouldn't have start Patterson. I just think Hickey is much better defensively, but hey, Patterson's a good option. He's probably slightly better going forward on the right than Hickey is, but I don't think he'll change much. Like, I think.
Nah, I hope not.
So
Gilmore going to run a show again?
What's that?
I was just saying that queue is definitely going to be four or five changes in every time. You never predict a Stevie Clark side. You're just sitting there and the team comes out and you're like, fuck. Yeah.
Well, we'll wait and see, boys. Let's have a round off with a score prediction before we play some Scotland goals.
I'll go 2-1 Scotland.
Brookie?
Yeah, I've gone 2-0 Scotland.
I'm not so caught. I think 2-2.
2-2, that'd be a decent. 2-2. Yeah, could be worse. I've got a wee, got sent something for Mike Smith the night.
My soap dish? Is it my soap dish?
No, your soap dish.
Oh, we better discuss this with the soap dish. Fa brings a soap dish abroad with him.
Fa has a soap dish.
Hold on a minute.
A travel soap dish.
Hold on a minute. As you well know, friend of the show, also my wife, her wee business is about promoting zero waste and single use plastics getting taken out of circulation. So we didn't have wee bottles of shampoo and that. I'm not allowed that shit anymore.
Can I just
wrap it in a toilet roll or something?
I bet so I can use it again.
You left the bloody soap there and us, so you can't use it again.
I didn't mean to leave it. Can you get to chuck it in the bin and fucking teen at him?
Anyway,
Mike's here.
So there was a picture up of Harry Kane and Andy Robertson.
The new.
So one of these players has won the English title, English FA Cup, English League Cup, English Community Shield, Club World Cup, UEFA Super Cup, and the UEFA Champions League. The other is England captain. Also a fucking cunt. Ugly cunt. Diving cunt.
Yeah. Hey, boys, I'll a wee challenge for you just to round us off, because we're trying to do some sort of quizzy thing. So it's starting 11s. Just take turns, play tennis, and see if fails.
I thought there was going to be something.
You can get one life each, okay? So it is the starting lineups or any sub used in England 0, Scotland 0 at Euro 2021.
Okay. Oh,
John.
I was really drunk. That's unfair.
I'll go for man the match, Billy Gilmore.
Billy Gilmore is correct.
I'll go Stevie O'Donnell.
Yes.
David Marshall.
Marshall, yes.
Go Andy Robertson.
Andy Robertson, the captain.
McTominay.
Yes, playing at the back.
Yep.
Jack Grealish.
Jack Grealish came on off the bench.
Hanley.
Hanley, yep.
Harry Kane.
Harry Kane, yes. Subbed off because he was in Hanley's pocket.
Super. Mm-hmm. John McGinn.
John McGinn. Early book in 16 minutes.
Excited.
I think you've only got 3 Scotland players left, plus the 2 subs that came on.
Kieran Tierney.
Tierney, yes.
Dykes.
Dykes started, yep.
Ooh.
Oh. Struggling.
So that's doing a 1 Scotland player left?
No, 2, I think.
2. Scott McTominay.
He's been said.
Said lose a life.
Lose a life.
Not listening.
Not listening.
McGregor, surely.
McGregor, yeah.
Fuck.
One Scotland starter left.
Oh.
What the England players did you say?
I might have to go to that side. So we, Kyle Walker.
No. Oh, did Kyle Walker any miss a tournament? Is he injured?
I think Trippier played.
James, well, that's you out anyway, so I can name a team. But Reece James played.
Did he?
It's Pickford, Reece James, John Stones, Tyrone Mings, Luke Shaw, Phillips, Rice, Foden, Mount, Sterling, and Kane.
No idea how far these boys are.
Now, Walker was not even on the bench.
Did Maguire?
Maguire was on the bench. No, was it on? Aye. Stones and Mings.
So it was. Hold on, let's see if we can get there. It must have been Christie.
No, it was. Adams.
They played two up.
Armstrong and Nisbet came off a bench.
Nisbet would never have got that.
Well, there we go, boys. Just a little bit of fun to finish with. So, we'll see you all tomorrow at the shed. Hope
we'll
so.
Do.
For a lukewarm pie, pretty much.
Right.
Let's enjoy some goals just to finish off. We'll catch you tomorrow. And thank you
all
for listening. Bye bye.
Big Scottish striker. Problems here for England. Dalglish. And Clements' day is now complete. A total Griffiths.